Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Apramasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
Tell somebody, we want to become more like Jesus. You know, that's the bottom line of Christianity. That is all we are after, somebody will mistake you for Jesus. Is it possible? Is it possible they'll mistake you for Jesus? Maybe one day, not today, but but we are getting there. Tell your neighbor, one of the reasons why you are not like Jesus Christ is your friends. No, add your finger. Wave your finger at him. One of the reasons why you are not like Jesus Christ is your friends. Listen. I'm very serious. Some of you have bad friends. I mean, I'll not say it. We are in church. I can't lie to you. Your friends are not correct. They like boys. They like girls. They watch bad films. Some of them drink or smoke behind doors. And the comments they make weaken your hand. You cannot pray in their presence. They will say, "Hey, Osofo Mami. Hey, Bishop." You can't pray in their presence. Even when you have food, you're going to say grace, and they are there. You just say grace in your head. Amen. Because what they will say when you say grace, they will criticize. Oh, that is why you are not changing. Tell me about that's why you are not changing. You are being held back, and you have no good friend to advise you how to behave when you have broken hearts. No good friend. Nobody to tell you how to behave when you are broke. Both broke or broken hearted. All are broken. So what it means is, on Sunday, when finally you manage to get here, stay here for a long time, and then imbibe all the influences and all the advice from your Christian friends. I didn't hear an amen. Finally, you have been able to leave your roommate who is not correct, your classmates who are not correct, your hallmates who are not correct, to come and fall among correct Christians. Oh, you clap for your church. Yeah. And what it is that when there's preaching, I'm the one talking. And I will talk. But when preaching is over, now you fall among Christian contemporaries who are also talking, but they are talking, believe it or not, their talking is more powerful than my talking, believe it or not, because they are in the same category as you. So when you say, "I can't learn," because they'll say, "Oh, but you can't," because when I say "I can't," "you can't learn," I don't learn. The way you learn, my learning is different. So you say that I don't understand you. You will come and ask me questions that, do you have poverty? Do you have this? You don't know what we are going through. But when you now fall among your contemporaries who have, and you see, when you meet your church mates, sometimes you meet your church mates on campus or in town, you don't talk about God. You talk about poverty, about politics, about economics, about World Cup. You don't talk about God. Because though you are church mates, you still somehow talk about everything else. But this morning, we are here to talk about Jesus. Amen. And that is it. Talk about Jesus. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence here this morning. Thank you for your hand of mercy upon our lives. Thank you for your grace, great grace, that covers us and makes us become what you planned and what you intended from the beginning of time. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing something new in our lives. We will not remain the same. We will not remain the same. We will not remain the same. We will be converted and changed to become more like Jesus. Thank you so, so, so very much. There's a song. It says, Jesus, all for Jesus. All I am and have and ever hope to be. All my ambitions, hope and fears. All my ambitions, that line. All my ambitions, hopes and plans. I surrender these into your hands. For it's only in your will that I am free. Hallelujah. I want you to understand that as you say these words, it becomes a prayer and an expression of intent from your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, all for Jesus.
Jesus, all for Jesus.
I'm watching you.
All I am and have and ever hope to be. All of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these into your hands. All of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these into your hands. For it's only in your will that I am free. For it's only in your will that I am free. Jesus, all for Jesus. All I am and have hope to be.
All my ambitions,
all of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these into your hands. For only in your will that I am free. For it's only in your will that I am free. Jesus. All for Jesus. All I am and have and ever hope to be.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you that you are real. You are alive. You are moving in our midst. You are making a difference, and it starts today. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're talking about Jesus Christ and Christ-likeness. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. And it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Tell somebody there's no doubt you are born again. No, tap your neighbor, tell him there's no doubt. There's no question. I'm not in any anxiety. You are born again. Amen. Now are we the sons of God. Hallelujah. And look at this. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We are not yet what we are going to be. We have not become what we are supposed to be. Even though you are born again. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen. So tell anybody, I know you are born again, but you are not what you are supposed to be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So that is our aim, to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Not to be a good version of you. There is no way this version of you can be improved. I mean, this version of you is you. What we are looking for is to change it to become like Jesus. Hallelujah. And he says, how to be like him is, for we shall see him as he is. So it is in our seeing Jesus. Are you listening? Are you listening? It is in our seeing Jesus. You know, so what John is saying here, and John is the one who was very close to Jesus. He was able to put his head on Jesus' chest in public. It's a very closeness. It's not normally shaking hands and greeting, director, boss, chief. No, this one is a closeness. And he said, we are sons of God, but we are not yet where we are supposed to be. But we shall get there when we see him as he is. Hallelujah. Amen. So somehow our changing to become like Christ is determined. Are you listening? It's determined on how clearly you see Jesus for who he is. And that is why I'm taking my time to talk about him for the past few weeks and the coming weeks. That's to see him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all with open face. Open face means there's nothing between you and what you are looking at. There's no obstacle. You are looking at it directly. Okay? Beholding as in a glass, in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, seeing it reflected, are changed into the same image. Are you listening this morning? So you become, let me tell you something directly. You know, you can be born again for many, many years, but if there's no deliberate effort to see Jesus, you will never be like him. You will be as you are today. And you may go to heaven, even though right now I'm not sure all of you will go to heaven because of what I'm reading in Revelations. I saw in Revelations yesterday that Jesus said, I'll not blot out your name from the book of life. Did you hear that? He said, I will not blot out your name from the book of life. Do you know what it means? Oh, you don't know what it means. I will not blot out your name from the book of life. It means it can be blotted out. Tell your neighbor, be careful. Tap your neighbor and say, careful now. Some people are on the list of the name blotting list. Remove yourself off that list. And he was addressing the church in, I think, Sardis, or he was addressing a church. Hey, find it for me. Where is it? Which church is it addressing? Was he addressing? I think in Sardis. Yes, Sardis church. Go back to verse 5. He said, and I will not blot out. No, you thought I was joking. You thought I was not serious. I'm very serious. Jesus said, some of you will say, Lord, Lord, I did miracles in your name. And what will be his answer? I never did. I think the spirit has come back of quietness. But I don't mind. I don't mind. Because you need to hear this. That sitting here this morning does not guarantee you ever go to heaven. Does not guarantee. Because some of you are sitting here, you are not Christ-like. You are a Sunday official church member. By Monday, you have reverted back to type. By Monday, you are yourself again with your guys, your coppers, Jack Toronto, Big Bobo, Dirty Daniel, Slippery Susie. You are back again with all the crazy guys in your life. By Monday morning, you are walking with them everywhere to town. By Monday morning, you have changed. When they see you on Sunday, they'll be surprised. We too will be surprised to see you on Monday. Yeah, when I see where you work, how you dress. You will see a Christian, your pants are showing, your boxer shorts, your pants, everything is showing, and you are walking happily in town. Tell somebody rubbish. No. You are not becoming like Christ. And he said, no, go back to my scripture, 2 Corinthians 8. And he said, we are changed. Amen? I didn't hear amen. We are changed into his likeness. That says two things. One, you are not yet there. Two, you can get there. When I say you are being changed, it means you are not yet there, but you can get there. Because if you couldn't get there, then there's nothing to change. There's nothing to work on to make it become what it can be if it was not possible. But it's possible. I said it's possible. Tell somebody it's possible. You can be like Jesus. No. Look at that person. I always add your finger when you're addressing your neighbor. Tell them it's possible. You can be like Jesus. You are not like him at all. Now there you are not. But you can be. And that's our whole aim here this morning. Amen. Look at this. Philippians. Chapter 1. I want to give you a goal and an image and a target this morning. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And this is Paul speaking. And he said, being confident, I have the same conviction that he that has begun a good work in you, he will perform it. He will continue. Until the day of Christ. The day of Christ is either end of the world or your death. Choose one. Which one will you choose? The day of Christ. Either when Jesus comes and the world ends, or you die and you go to heaven. But it means, are you listening? Are you listening? It means that Jesus is working on us. And he has begun a good work. And he, look, listen to this. He will not stop. He is always fine-tuning. It's like my sound. They are always working on it, trying to make it better. He will not stop. Yeah. Only when you stop that the thing stops. But as long as you are alive, as long as you are alive, are you listening? I didn't hear a good amen.
Amen.
I didn't hear a very loud amen.
Amen.
As long as you are, until the day of Jesus Christ, until the end of your life, your existence on earth, as long as you are alive, God is working on you to adjust you bit by bit to make you more like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And because it's such a radical change, you know, when there's a major surgery to be done and you have a minor sickness, they wait until you are well. Because the thing I come to do, cut you open, is a very serious thing.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to the doctors about Ezra's hand. They said they can't open the hand for now until all the skin heals and is okay again. Before they can even do any cutting. And so we are not going to make any major change in your life. You may die. But you will do small adjustments day by day. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Small adjustments. If you are to be transformed today, it's like a drug addict. When you withhold their drugs, they go into shock and they have withdrawal symptoms. And that's why they often give them substitute drugs. They tone them down, gradually wean them off their drugs until they become normal. Then you start dealing with them. Tell somebody you need to change. It's a process. It's a process, but you can't stop it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Acts chapter 1. I'm giving you scriptures today. How to change. How to become more and more like Jesus. Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Jesus began to do and to teach. And so this morning, in our attempt, I'm preaching for a very short time. Yeah. And so this morning, in our attempt to become like Jesus, there are two things to mark: what Jesus said and what Jesus did. Okay? So, number one, we have to hear what he said. And number two, we have to see what he did. All these are in the Gospels. That's why I said, read the Gospels. I give you an order. Do you remember the order? You forgot it. What's the order? John, Luke, finally Matthew. Yeah. And then now add Revelations at the end. Or Acts then Revelations. No, Jesus did and said. So we have to pay attention to what he said and what he did. Amen? And what will be the results of that if you pay attention? No, you see, those, Acts chapter 4. So those who were alive at that time, they were able to hear him and see him. We are not there. So those who were alive at that time when Jesus was there, who were walking with the disciples, they were walking with him. What was the benefit? They could see him and hear him. So look at Acts 4 verse 13, verse 12. Okay, so this is the preaching of Peter, right? Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and what? Perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, meaning they were not schooled. They had not learned, gone to school to learn like the rabbis and the other Pharisees. They hadn't learned the scriptures in that formal, official manner. They marveled. They were amazed at area boys, ordinary people, becoming what they became. And they took knowledge. They recognized the fact that they had been with Jesus. They had heard what he said and seen what he did. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't hear a good amen.
Amen.
Ask your neighbor, do you want to be like Jesus? Ask your neighbor. No, no, please tap him. Ask him, are you seriously trying to, or you don't mind how you are? I mean, because some people don't mind how they are. Yeah, they are happy. Do you know some people are happily unemployed? Happily unemployed. No desire. They are not looking for jobs. They are walking around flowing happily because they eat every day. Somehow. I don't know how they eat every day. They have mothers and fathers. They eat every day. But not us. Not us. Hallelujah. Lay hands on your neighbor's head and say, I pray you become like Jesus. Lay hands on his head. Oh, pray. I mean, lay and say, look, cast out a demon or cast out some kind of spirit out of him. Like your, wait. The you spirit, cast it out of him. The you who you are. I mean, cast it out and say, let a new spirit come into you. A spirit of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
Maureen, nobody cast out the demon out of you. Nobody was laying hands on your head. You've got to change. Amen. You've got to change. We have to become. How many really want to be like Jesus? No, you see, put your hand down. Okay, put your hand down. You know, in church, there's this disease of copying or knowing what is to be said, knowing the right idea. And because others raise their hand, you look left and look right, and you also raise your hand because, Charlie, let me be with the majority and with the crowd. But some people really, really do not think about it. Amen. Some people are really happy and content. It's not the case. They are really comfortable. But I am also really unhappy with you the way you are. I am also really convinced that if you become more like Jesus, you will have a much better quality of life. Amen. You will have much more success in this life. Amen. You will see many, many more good days and happy days in this life. If you become more and more like Jesus. And that is also my great desire. Hallelujah. Amen. And because we have to see and hear him, what there's the hearing him is in the Gospels. But the seeing him is what I'm trying to describe to you. I'm trying to describe him to you in a way you can see and hear and understand that this is what and what I must do to become more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? This morning I have two keys to give you. I have two keys. Are you ready for those keys? John chapter 8. I have two keys. Tell somebody two keys. For you to become more like Jesus. John chapter 8 and verse 31. John 8, 31. There are many, many keys, but I'm just giving you these two for today because that is my plan for today. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Remember what John said. Now are we the sons of God. So we are talking to believers. Then he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If you continue means obey. Continue means obey. If you continue in my words, if you obey my words, then are you my disciples indeed. And verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this morning, I want to give you two keys that will help you to become more like Jesus. Are you ready? Are you ready? Key number one, obey God. Key number one, obedience. Obey God. Amen.
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 Key number one is to obey God. Again, I'm just giving you three scriptures under this one so that it's a short sermon and not a convention. Luke 22 and verse 42. Obeying God. And this is Jesus praying, and he said, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Jesus said, remember in Hebrews chapter 5, he says he learned obedience through suffering. So Jesus is saying something here. He said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup be removed from me. But then he added that key phrase, not my will, but thine be done. Most people have their will. True or not true? True or not true? Most people know what they want to do. And most people, obedience ends when what they want to do and what they are told to do differ. Are you listening? Most people, obedience ends. So long as I say, sit down, and you want to sit down, you will happily sit down. And you appear very obedient and very correct and very nice and very beautiful and very whatever it is. But the day you want to go and I say sit down, that is the day we'll see obedience. That is the day we'll see obedience. The day your will. And you know, it's amazing. Are you listening? There are few things in this world, especially in church, that anybody can force you to do. Few. Very, very few. In fact, nothing. Is there anything at all we can force you to do? Nothing. There is nothing here in this building that you can be forced to do. Because nobody pays you. Nobody brought you here by any means. You came by yourself. You are free. You are a free agent. Are you not a free agent? Are you not a citizen? You have an ID card. You have a visa to be in Ghana. You can go and come to Accra as you will. There's no problem. So there's no compulsion about anything in church. That is the real test. Because you are free. You are free to go and come. Do you know something? You are free to get up and walk out. Yeah. Do you know something? You are free never to come back again. Who will come and catch you? Pastor Ashong. When he comes to your room, what do you do? Then shut the door. Don't open the door. That's all. Or you think that he can come and beat you? Kevin, can Ashong, Pastor Ashong beat you? You don't think so. He doesn't think so. No, there's nothing anybody can force you to do. So the key is when what you want and what you are told to do differ, that's where disobedience comes in. And obedience is, are you listening? Obedience is that this thing, I don't want to do it. How many have a will? Lift your, you have a will. Yeah. Obedience is this thing. I don't want to do it. But because you say it, I will do it. I didn't hear amen. I didn't see anybody smiling and say, hey. Me, this thing, I don't want to do it. And you can't force me to do it. This thing, whatever it is, fast, church, offering, give, go, come, pray, come on time, stay, go early, whatever it is, come for convention. This thing you are saying, I do not want to do it. I want to spend Wednesday evening in my room watching television, watching, what are you watching? Football. Watching anything. That's what I want to do. I mean, my Wednesdays are not for church. My Wednesdays are for me, myself, and I in my room with we. Yeah. We are in a room together. We are happy in our environment. And I have no plan to disrupt that plan of mine. But because you... Are you listening? That's obedience. That's obedience. Because you say so, I will lay... Jesus said... I don't know whether you are listening to me this morning. He said, not my will, but yours be done. So that's the key. I will do what this thing you are saying, because you said it, I will do it. Amen?
Amen.
And I don't have time today, but I'll tell you there are three people you have to obey. Three people. Do you know who they are? One, God. Two, your parents. Three, those in authority over you. I don't have time to go into that one. But three people. You have to obey these three people. Obey God. That's what makes you Christ-like. Number two, obey your parents. That one too is a whole discussion because some parents are complicated. Yeah, some parents are difficult to obey. But it doesn't excuse you from obeying them. And number three, obey those who have the rule over you. Hebrews 13, I think, 8 or 17 or something. Obey those who have the rule over you. So obey these three people. So there are some, are you listening to me? There are some people who, when they say do something, you are, I don't know whether you are listening to me this morning. There are some people, I've named three people, who when they say do something, tell your neighbor, it doesn't really matter what you want to do. Doesn't really matter how your mind is working. You are supposed to obey them. That is what makes you Christ-like. That is, you see, you can't see. How can this be? This is what Jesus, this is the life Jesus lived. He obeyed the Father even when it was painful on the skin. I didn't hear an amen. I didn't see a good smile on anybody's face. Yeah. Obedience. Hallelujah. Amen. I said obedience. Jesus said, not what I want to do. Not what is on my heart. So let me tell you something. Pastor Henry, everybody has a mind. Even children's. Everybody has something they want to do. Everybody. As we are sitting, thank you. As we are sitting here, people have plans. Oh, do you think that they are all staying here at 2 o'clock? No, do you think that everybody is going to stay at 2 o'clock after I announced it? No, not at all. Some of them, they have made plans. As you are talking, say, Pastor, you have lost. Yeah, this one there, you have missed the road because I have an agenda. And I will not change my agenda for you. No. I'm going somewhere. Do you know where that somewhere is? It's called nowhere. It's called, you didn't know. That somewhere is called nowhere. They are going nowhere. But because simply they will not change their plan for you. They will not change their mind for you. That's all. And I have planned to go home and sit down and watch television, play what? Owari. Or just cook my lunch. They have no plan. I mean, there is no competing activity. But just that, obedience is not in their lives. Number two, let me just finish. My time is going. Hebrews 11, 8. Number two, Abraham, when called to go to a place which he should, after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Number two, some people cannot obey when they don't understand. No. Mitiase. Why should I do this? Why should I do this? Once that why has come, they will never obey. Because I don't understand what you're talking about. Why should I give offering? How can this offering increase my income? How can I become rich by giving tithes? How? I don't understand it. Therefore, I won't do it. Rich. I won't do it. How can this thing change my life? Because I don't know how coming to be a shepherd can change my life. Therefore, I won't do it. Simply, I don't understand how this thing works. And therefore, I won't do it. Yeah, very quiet, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it's true. We have working minds. It's true. You have a mind that is supposed to be active. But there should be a place where somebody can take you by the hand and lead you to a place you have not been before. And that's the work of faith. That's the work of faith. Somebody can take you by the hand and lead you to their place. Patrick, are you here with us? And take you to a place where you have never been before. And you don't know what is there. You don't even know how to get there. But by simply obeying. That obedience is a major trait of Jesus. He obeyed the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Let me jump. There's more obedience, but let me just jump. There are two keys. Let me just jump before my time finishes. But asking about, are you obedient? Asking about, are you obedient? What did he say? Yes. Are you obedient? I'm saying yes. Okay, number two is, are you a liar? Number two is lies. Lies. Amen. Amen. Lying. I've said it before and I'm back here again. But lying is maybe the most devilish of all the characteristics you can exhibit. Are you listening to me? Lying. Lying is the most satanic and the most, give me more dangerous adjectives. Demonic, the most unchristian behavior you can exhibit. Lying is the most direct. Are you listening to me? I want you to understand what lying is. Because many of you are liars. No, it's true. I mean, if just now we ask how many will be here tomorrow, they all raise their hand. Liars. I didn't come to crocodile you today. We are talking about Jesus Christ today. And we are not like Jesus. So it means that there must be some change to become more like Jesus. There must be some change in us. Amen. And if there's any one change I can give you, it may not, you see, this change doesn't benefit me, really, because we are a church and we are here. This change, it will benefit you 1,000%. And this change is stop lying. Stop lying. Totally. Hallelujah. Stop. Are you listening to me? Stop lying. Become truthful. Not most of the time. All the time. Listen to this. Most lies are mixed with truth. So when Satan came to Eve in the garden, he didn't say something very different. He said, has God said? Then God said this. God said, don't eat. No. God said, don't eat. He said, oh, no, you can touch. He changed the thing slightly. You understand? So most lies have some truth in their lies. Okay. This is what makes it very difficult. Because for the liar, for the Christian liar, he will focus on the small truth in the lie. So he'll say, oh, but I tried to come, which is true, but you overslept, which is the real reason why you couldn't come. Oh, but I planned to give, which is true, but then you changed your mind when you remembered your bills. And so many people, so you see, if I ask you to ask anybody, are you a liar? Many will say, no, I'm not a liar, because they often tell the truth. But that truth, are you listening? That truth is about 80%. Is 80% enough? Is it good enough, 80%? It's not. But they will say, oh, I'm 80% correct. Well, that's an A. Is it an A? It's an A. Or I'm maybe 85% truthful. It's an A plus. Or even I'm 90% truthful. It's a very truthful person, 90%. I'm quite truthful. But that 10% lies is enough. Satan, 10% in your life is too much. It's too much. So many people mix lies and truth, and then they express the truth, they highlight the truth that they are saying. and then suppress the lies. But it takes, you know, it takes just a little poison. I don't need a bowl of poison or a cup of poison to kill you. Just a little. I mean, a snake venom. How many drops of snake venom do we need to kill a person? One or two drops in this big body of yours. How much sana do you need? One or two grains to kill. That's all we need. You don't need much to kill you. So 10% is too much. It's overkill. I mean, it has gone too far. Just a little is enough. And because we have been able to, can I say, hype ourselves that we are truthful. Because we are mostly truthful. I accept. We are mostly truthful. We tell the truth a lot of the time. But that 5%, that 10% is too much. It's too much. Amen. Amen. Psalm 119 and verse 29. Remove from me the way of lying. I didn't hear anybody say amen. Yeah. Remove from me the way of lying. Let us put aside lies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why? John 8, this is chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus said, your father is the devil. And you belong to him. And you want to do the things what he wants. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he was always against the truth. There is no truth in him. He's like the lies he tells. Yes. The devil is a liar. He is the father of lies. Amen.
Amen.
Three things about lies. Then we are done.
Wow.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 4. Three things about lies that I want you to understand this morning. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Therefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Why? For we are members one of another. So this morning, I came to tell you that me and you and your neighbor and your friend on the row or the other row, we are on the same side. We are on the same team. There is no reason. Are you listening?
Yeah.
There is no reason to tell a lie to anybody in the house. Why? We are members one of another. So put away lying.
Okay.
So ask anybody, will you be here on Wednesday? Ask anybody again. Will you be here on Wednesday?
Hey.
Yeah. And you see, now the answers will change slightly. And the reason is, you see, I am not a stranger to you. I am not here to fight you or to contend against you. I am on your side. I am here to help you. I am here to lift you up. I'm here to give you a better life. I'm here to say what I can to help you. So when you say, Bishop, I cannot come on that day, beautiful, I cannot come. Clap for yourself, I cannot come. Then question two comes, why can't you come? You think I want that question one? No, because we are here trying to help you. We are on the same side. Whatever, are you listening? Whatever you want for you, I want for you even more than you. I mean, right now, I what do I want? Personally, I don't want anything. I have everything I want. And now my thought is, what can I get for my children? What can they do to grow up and become successful? And become great. That's all. Job, work, money, house, car, I have everything. Yeah. So we are on the same side. And you see, people do not want to answer that question. Why? Do you know why? The second reason why lies are there. I'll tell you. Genesis chapter 4. Second reason why lies are there is
what Cain said to God. Genesis 4, 9. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I don't know. Didn't he know? Didn't he know? He knew. Yes. But why did he say, I don't know? Because lies always hide more sins. Lies are a cover under which sins flourish. So, no, listen to me. The day you stop lying, that day you become a good boy, become a good girl. Because you can't behave bad again. When you know, they'll ask you, what are you watching? Can you watch dubious things again? When you open your head, they'll ask me, then you close the thing again. You don't want to watch, but the truth that you will have to face will make you behave well. But when you are free to lie, then you are not free to behave badly in any way or any place you find yourself. Amen. Amen. Where are you coming from? Somewhere. If you had to say where you are coming from, would you go there again? You mind me again? If you had to say where you went, what time you went, what you did there, you had to say it openly, would you do it again? You at once change your behavior. But because you can say, oh, where are you coming from? Somewhere. What are you going to do? I did something. Yeah, I'm coming from somewhere. Where did you go? I went to school. You passed school. You didn't go to school. You passed there for about 10 minutes. Wow. Then you went to where you are going. Wow. You're not minding me this morning. But lies has the power to mask evil. So once there's lying, it's like a plaster on an infected wound. It's festering underneath. But when you remove lies, suddenly you must clean up your life. And when I ask you whether you're coming on Wednesday and you say no, then I ask you why. Then now you think about it, there's no reason. There's no real reason why I cannot come on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There's no reason. I'm in my room. I'm busy. You're busy doing what? Lying on my bed. Somebody saying, you don't understand. How can you be busy lying on your bed? I'm busy where? In my house. I'm busy. You are late. Why are you late? Oh, I'm sorry. That's not the answer. Why are you late? Oh, I couldn't come. That's not the answer. Why couldn't you come? Oh, because, I didn't want to come. But in the end, I had to come. That's the reality. And when you begin to face the truth, do you know what happens? You begin to change. You begin to change. And you become more Christ-like. The devil, are you listening? Yeah. The devil in you is finishing. Yeah. The devil in you is diminishing. If you become more honest and you face the truth, this is how it is. You are changing. Amen. Amen. We are changing. Look, tell somebody we are changing.
We are changing.
By force. We are changing. Tell somebody, this is your bad behavior. It's ending. Amen.
Amen.
And the last point. Romans 12. About lies. There's more, but I, like I said, I'm not preaching for long. Romans 12, 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Number three, when you lie a lot, finally you lie to yourself. Finally you tell yourself lies. You say, oh, I'm good. It's not my fault. I'm okay. Finally, you begin to tell yourself so many lies that for you to change now becomes impossible. Why? Because you're almost perfect. You're in a very good state. I'm a very good boy. You know, as I'm sitting here, I'm not bad at all. I'm not bad at all. Everybody has a little good in them. Even armed robbers, drug dealers, cocaine sellers, they have a little good in them, but they are bad people. But they are bad people. And when you say that I'm not too bad,
that power to change. Are you listening? That power to change and reduce. I don't know whether you're quite, you understand what I'm saying this morning. But to reduce the badness in you, that's our aim. To tone down the badness until it's near zero. Increasing the goodness and maintaining the badness doesn't do much. Because the badness poisons all the goodness you are, that is there. If you have a bad mind, even doing good cries corrupted. Giving money to a girl becomes corrupted. Because you are now hoping for ulterior motives, what I can get out of her. Yeah. So once the badness is there, even your good things are changed. Amen. So that my aim is, listen, let's tone down the badness. Let's remove it out of our lives. Amen. Can we go on a no-lying campaign? I don't mind me this morning. Can we go on a no-lying campaign? Okay, I'm going to ask. If you want to go on a no-lying campaign, raise your hand. If you are lying, don't raise your hand. If you are raising your hand and you won't do it, you are adding another liar. You are just confirming that you are a liar. Then you are making that thing a joke. So if you are... No, listen. We are in church, oh. We are in church. We are entering... Look, better to say, media, I know I'll lie. And I'm not fighting it. Okay? I'm not fighting it. Don't raise your hand. Sit down and say, I won't raise my hand because as a liar, I know I'll lie and I won't fight it. Okay? Okay? So that I can see you, then I'll come for you. Because I won't spare you. When you don't raise your hand, do you think I'll keep quiet? No, William, do you think I'll keep quiet? When they are here, will you lie? Yes, I'll lie. Do you think I'll keep quiet? I say, okay, keep lying. I'm coming for you. Me and you will have a church service, just the two of us. Oh, yes. I cannot keep quiet and allow you to be a liar still. So how many are going to enter a no-lying campaign? Can I see your hand? A no-lying campaign. If you are a no-lying campaign, stand to your feet. I want to separate the sheep from the goats. Separate. You see, people, sit down. Everybody sit down. Close your eyes. See, people are looking. Who are left sitting down? They are left looking. Who is sitting down? Are there many sitting or many standing? I want to be in the crowd. So you are not able to take a decision that you will live by. Look, listen. Me, Patrick Bruce, I have no power to change you. I have no power to make you any different. I have no power. All I can do is talk to you and help you change you. Me, I don't have any power. So ignore this man. Are we okay? Are we okay? Ignore this man. Everybody close your eyes. Don't look at who is doing what. Do what you want to do. If you are going to join my anti-lie campaign and pro-obedience campaign, raise your hand and stand to your feet. Don't take a neighbor and tap me. See, are you sitting there or standing? Don't tap your neighbor. Don't check anybody. Yeah. Are you joining my anti-lying campaign? Oh, we are going to stop lying. Yeah. No, I'm glad some are sitting because that's the reality. Yeah. Some will not change today. They'll change next week or they'll change next month. Father, see everyone standing. Bible says Jesus, an angel strengthened him. And an angel came from heaven to strengthen him and to make him able to stand to the ordeal that was coming. Let an angel strengthen us. Let an angel come from heaven and be by our sides when we are most tempted to lie. Let there be a divine intervention in our hearts. Lord, I pray for supernatural strength, inner strength, courage, ability to force to do the will of God. I pray, oh God, that this morning, let there be a turnaround in our mind, in our hearts. I will be like Jesus. I will be like Jesus. I want to be like him. Let there be, oh God, a new desire in us. Shabbat Kataya. a new desire in us to love God, to love God, and to love Him more than anything. Lift your hand this morning. Pray for yourself.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 112 75. God bless you.